You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's start off with Jared Jones on why he felt like Trey Lance was a necessary move for the drama Dallas choking Cowboys and gave up a fourth-round pick for him.
The facts are that the decision to bring in as high a quality of talent as we could that's evolving or a young talent that is basically gaining, improving, getting better that you would be as a young talent. That's something that we've been trying to do, but it's just never the opportunity seems to be there so often.
Hickey, every time Jerry Jones speaks now, I have no clue what the heck he's saying. I think he was like caught on trying to say that Trey Lance is evolving and developing, but then he couldn't say the word evolving, and then he just kind of spoke in circles there for about 30 seconds.
And also the Cowboys don't have or have very few opportunities to acquire high talent. And so this was one in, you know, the one in a million chance they got. So they obviously can't pass on that.
Like, I get it. The guy has potential. Potential means you haven't done it. This guy was a first round, third overall pick three drafts ago. And he's played four games. Four games he started. And you trade a fourth round pick for him. This is the part that drives me nuts with Jerry Jones, where like I appreciate it because we're right in this media landscape and content and quotes are always great for us. But do you really have to hold media availability over Trey Lance getting traded? The guy's a third-string quarterback. Third-string quarterback. What are we doing?
I mean, Jerry has media availability every day, basically.
I understand
so,
that.
Like, this guy is... He will talk about anything. If you want to talk about the third-string off tackle for 20 minutes, I think he'd do it.
Yeah. Hey, nothing, though, will top the player that got arrested last week where he goes, he's improving.
Sam Williams.
Last
he's
year,
only driving 66.
Yeah. Last year, he's going 100. This year, it's only 55.
He was 30 miles an hour less. Even though he still broke the law, hey, he was 30 miles an hour slower. So look at that. We as an organization are showing we can, you know, curb players' character.
Whenever Jerry speaks now, I feel like it's that line in the Billy Madison movie where, like, everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to basically what Jerry Jones was trying to say. Oy, oy, oy. Here is Jerry Jones. Just trash him for about 4 minutes. Now we want more Jerry Jones. Here's Jerry Jones when asked if the Trey Lance trade impacts Dak Prescott's future.
Didn't cross my mind, period, about an impact here regarding Dak. I know that Dak wants to do anything we can do to improve this team. And we're going to do it. But we've been trying to do what we did today with this trade almost every draft since I've been drafting.
What? What was the last part? Play that last like 4 seconds there again, Hickey.
We've been trying to do what we did today with this trade almost every draft since I've been drafting.
I guess he's saying get a quarterback in the fourth round, which the irony is Dak wasn't a highly picked quarterback as well. So didn't you basically do that with Dak Prescott, who Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick, right? Isn't that what he's saying? It's tough to figure out what the heck he's saying, but is he saying this is what we always try to do in the draft with when you have a pick in that round? Well, you did that with your quarterback in Dak Prescott.
And not to jump the next cut I believe we're going to play, but he basically then doubled down on that thinking and trying to be, Danny Ainge. He said, oh, he almost got, another great quarterback later in the draft as well. He's the king of maybe fourth-round quarterbacks.
So Jerry Jones is now the quarterback whisperer, is what you're telling me.
The fourth-round quarterback whisperer.
The fourth-round quarterback whisperer. That's what this guy is.
Put that on Jerry's Hall of Fame plaque. Like, that's number one.
Where
America's team, it's fourth-round quarterback whisperer.
Dak was a fourth-round pick. Trey Lance was a first-round pick, but now getting treated like a fourth-round pick. And now let's hear about a guy that was a second-round pick by an actual general manager who knows what he's doing in Howie Roseman. And Jerry Jones admits he wanted to draft Jalen Hurts back in 2020.
I think had we been able to draft him with next year's four, the kind of talent he was in this draft, like I just told you 2 years ago, we were looking at Philadelphia quarterback, I'm not going to call any names, but looking at him, had he fallen to us there, we would have drafted him.
So I actually believe Jerry Jones there, that he had interest in taking Jalen Hurts. But with that being said, whether you believe it or not, why bring it up? Why talk about a guy that just had an MVP type of season in your division that was playing in the Super Bowl? It would almost be as if, right, you knew a secret to something and it didn't come to fruition, but you just wanted it out there years later to justify your team's shortcomings that you were thinking about it, which I actually do believe. That Jerry Jones was thinking about taking Jalen Hurts. But why would you admit that publicly? Don't make any sense, Hickey. Not at all.
And that's why I go back to, if you're Dak, like, how do you sit there and just feel good or feel even just honestly loved as Jerry's flirting and talking about every other quarterback he could possibly could have gotten?
Well, I'll tell you. You could talk whatever way you want to talk about me, Hickey. And you could flirt with every other show here at CBS Sports Radio. And you could talk to every other radio talent in the business. And you could crap talk. I thought I was going to be the producer of this show or that show. And I thought about joining this network. Say whatever you want. You could disrespect me all you want. You pay me $40 million a year, Hickey. You could say whatever you want about me, my man. You pay me $600,000 a year, Hickey. You could say whatever you want about me, okay?
If I'm paying you $600K. I mean, must mean I'm doing something right with my life. And you know what? Maybe I'm not here. kicking my feet up in the sand and, getting away from my Jim Irsay problems right now. That's what I'm doing.
Instead, I'm not getting paid $600,000. You don't have $600,000 to give. And here we are where you get beat around like a pinata each and every day.
Lucky me.
You know the gif? Look at us now. Look at the two of us now. It's one of those moments, except we have like a bottle in a brown paper bag and we both look disheveled. Let's hear Dak Prescott explain why the Trey Lance trade didn't take him by surprise.
I can't say that I necessarily expected it, no. I understand that that's business. I understand that they're probably on a timeline. They need to get something done. And as I said, he felt like that strength on this team. To be honest with you, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. You've been in this league 8 years, been on this team. It's hard to say that I was surprised, to be honest with you.
You know who Dak Prescott is? I'll tell you exactly who Dak Prescott is. He is someone that watches reality television where you could get caught up in the drama and you could believe it from the start, but as the years go on, you know that it's a reality TV show. And Dak Prescott knows the Dallas Cowboys are a reality TV football team. And they love to create drama. They love to create a mess. And they love to feel as if something is really going to be an issue, but there's a non-issue here. And this is no issue whatsoever. But Dak is in on it that he knows it's reality TV, and he reminds himself that constantly so he doesn't get too emotionally invested in all this craziness that goes on with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys.
That to me sounds like someone who realizes this is, basically what I signed up for. This is who Jerry Jones is, and he will. And I don't think it's like he's saying that like in a joking way or like a positive way. That's like
he gets it.
I'm more like, bleep happen. Like, this bleep happens only with this team every year.
Once again, you pay me $40 million. You want to make all these crazy moves? I'll be the quarterback. I'll be the face of your franchise if you want to pay me that much money. I'll even do it for half. Not even a quarter. Here's Kyle Shanahan, who hates Trey Lance, some of the 49ers traded Trey Lance.
I thought it was time to move on for him and for us. Yeah, unfortunately, it did happen. But, you know, you'd love to keep a third guy to develop, especially a guy that you really, really love and believe that he could do it someday. But to do that for $7 million over 2 years with places where we are in the cap, when you can't provide those reps and stuff for people, and you got other things with our team, what we're doing, that to me doesn't make much sense for the Niners. I wish it would.
The audacity and the arrogance of Kyle Shanahan right there. Yeah, I hate to trade a guy that we really, really, really love in Trey Lance. Bull crap. You don't love Trey Lance. You don't even like him. You didn't want him in your building. And that's why he's getting traded for a fourth round pick to the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. Just be honest. That's all you have to do right there is be honest. I know they said they took a chance and it didn't work out, blah, blah, blah. But for him to put up this front that he loves Trey Lance, baloney, bullcrap, it's a bunch of BS. This guy doesn't like Trey Lance. He doesn't love him. But he keeps on putting up this front like we're a bunch of morons, we're a bunch of idiots, we're a bunch of sycophants that, yes, whatever King Kyle says, we hear, we believe, go 49ers. Woohoo! Come on. You're the reason why the guy's getting traded. That's crazy to me, Hickey. That line from arrogant Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, we really, really, really love the guy. Please. You can't stand Trey Lance. That's why he's no longer on your team.
Maybe not love, but I think he's telling the truth for the most part.
You think
it's
he really, money, really, 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 really loves?
It's a money aspect. I think more than anything else, like, they are not on the same timelines. Trey Lance needs time. The 49ers don't have time to give him. And you're not going to pay a third-string quarterback third overall pick money like Trey Lance is going to get for a guy that's going to hold a clipboard for 95% of the year.
But you're barely paying the other quarterbacks anything else.
Yeah, you're paying everyone else a ton of money. That's why you're not paying the quarterback any money, because every other roster spot, the other 50 roster spots, are all filled with, you know, big-time contract guys. That's how they built their team.
You think he really, really, really loves?
Again, I wouldn't say love. I think he's a little exaggerating there, but I think his reasoning is, I believe, 100%.
You think he likes him at all?
I think he likes him, yeah.
I don't see that. John Lynch says that Trey Lance apologized for letting the team down.
Love the kid. You know, Kyle and I, when we broke the news to him today, saw him light up a little bit, and that's, he loves it here. He was very appreciative of the opportunity, you know, like Trey, typical Trey, he apologized to us, and there was nothing for him to apologize for. And we're happy that he's got a spot, and you know, the Cowboys came up big, and I think that's an indication that they're excited to have him, and we're excited for Trey's new opportunity.
I'll make an analogy here for you. Kyle Shanahan, let's just say, is the stepmom here. And John Lynch is the real father. And, right, there was a previous divorce. The dad here is John Lynch. The son is Trey Lance. And then the stepmom comes into the picture. And the stepmom wants nothing to do with what would be her stepchild. So the stepmom says, you pick me or you pick your son. And the dad says, I'm picking the stepmom, Trey. Go live with your mother. That's what this relationship is. Kyle Shanahan is not a fan of Trey Lance. John Lynch is a fan of Trey Lance. And John Lynch, which I understand, you're not going to get rid of Kyle Shanahan, but by doing that, you had to get rid of someone that he actually loved and the reason why Trey Lance was actually drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. Let's keep it moving. Aaron Rodgers says he feels ready to go for the regular season. Had a beautiful touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson, if I may say so myself.
I think we're ready. We've held back a few things that we've been taking notes on, kind of in the quarterback room, stuff we want to put in this week coming up. So we'll put the kind of final touches in the offense, but I feel good about where we're at.
And Hickey, you're still the line of thinking that the Jets aren't going to make the playoffs. I disagree with that, but is that where you still stand?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the way, if you had to change your prediction, on one of these four things, which one would you change your prediction on? You said Jonathan Taylor's not getting traded by tomorrow. You said the Bucks will win the NFC South. You said the Rams will make the playoffs. And you said the Jets won't make the playoffs. If you had to, like if I forced you to change your prediction on one of those four things, which one would you change on?
Maybe the Rams. Maybe the Rams. But I feel still good about all four.
I know, but that wasn't the question. Just ask it.
The Rams.
Had to
I guess the Rams. Which one I guess is the it? Rams. Got in my head, I'll take the Rams and maybe put them like eighth.
All right, here's Nick Saban explaining why he's not releasing a depth chart for the first game.
Look, there's a lot of competition on the team. And when we put a depth chart out, you all think that's like final. Like this is like etched in stone that it's going to be this way forevermore. Just because we come out of fall camp and that's where it is. But it creates a lot of distractions on our team, creates a lot of, guys thinking that, well, this guy won the job now and I'm not going to play or whatever. And quite frankly, you know, we don't need that. And I want all of our players to continue to compete, continue to compete for playing time.
When did Nick Saban start caring about the way that his players feel if they lost the competition? I'll just ask that question to you, Hickey. That sounds to me like a coach that isn't confident in any of these quarterbacks and wants someone to go take it, and none of the quarterbacks have gone out there and taken it yet.
And that's him saying, I don't want to blame the quarterbacks for not playing well, so I'm just going to say this is an entire team issue, right? The receivers, the defensive backs, no depth chart.
Lineman got to be better.
I can't name the quarterbacks. I'm not going to name anyone else starting.
So Jim Harbaugh clearly annoyed at the NCAA. Here's Jim Harbaugh saying he believes student-athletes deserve to get paid more than they are now, and I agree with Jimmy.
A system of revenue sharing with the student-athletes. As a former player and current coach, mentoring many of these student-athletes, what I want to do is be a voice for the student-athletes. I want them to be treated with the respect and the dignity that they deserve. What I don't understand is how the NCAA, television networks, conferences, universities, and coaches can continue to pull in millions, and in some cases, billions of dollars in revenue off the efforts of college student athletes across the country without providing enough opportunity to share in the ever-increasing revenues. When student athletes call it a game, corporate types call it a business. When the student athletes call it a business, corporate types call it a game. We have to try to make it work. We have to try to make it better. And right now, the current status quo is unacceptable and won't survive.
That is Jim Harbaugh saying, let me translate this for you. That is Jim Harbaugh saying, NCAA, you want to mess with me? I'll go after you all year long. Talking Kansas City Chiefs next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on The Zach Gelb Show.
We'll preview the defending Super Bowl champion, the Kansas City Chiefs, right now with the man who I love his afternoon show on 610 in Kansas City. Also does a tremendous job here for CBS Sports Radio. But you know why this guy is my favorite? Because he introduced Hickey and I to Jack Stack in Kansas City when we were out there for the NFL draft. He is the great Carrington Harrison here with us to preview the Kansas City. How about them Chiefs? And he joins us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Carrington, what's happening?
Gelb, how's it going, man? I wish that I had, you know, made a TikTok or a boomerang so people could have saw your face when you had those Kansas City burn-ins for the first time in your life. You know, you had never had them before. You guys had a lot of questions about the menu. I said, you know what? I'm a veteran. I've lived in Kansas City my entire life. Let me place the order for you. We had a fantastic meal, man. I'm happy to be on with you today.
It was tremendous, from the wings to the burn-ins to the brisket. Even to that carrot cake cupcake at the end, the cheesy corn, the baked beans. They were absolutely delicious. It's even so good. I'm going to Nebraska for a football game. I'll have to link up again. I'm going to Lincoln for Nebraska, Michigan at the end of September, and I'm flying to Kansas City just so I could get some barbecue before finishing up the journey.
Okay, that sounds good. You know, let me know when you're in the city. I'll definitely take you to another barbecue place. You can actually, Jack Stack, actually, you know, they can actually ship the barbecue to you. So what they do is they freeze dry it for you.
Wow.
And then you can just heat it up right there for your tailgate. I've done that a couple of times, you know, when I've tailgated here. That's something that us Kansas Cityans love to do as well. So, yeah, you got to do that, man.
So I will be 700 pounds now because I know that information. I'll be doing that probably every weekend. All right, let's start off with the Chiefs, Carrington Harrison. Not a lot of crazy things with this football team because you have Patrick Mahomes. You're expected to win the Super Bowl each and every year. But one piece of drama is this Chris Jones holdout. He was tweeting last week that he'd be willing to sit out up until week 8. What is the end result here, in your opinion, that happens with the Chiefs and Chris Jones?
That's a great question, man, to be real with you. I've gotten this wrong every single step of the way. I didn't think that we would even be at this point with Chris Jones. You know, like, he's under contract. This isn't like Saquon Barkley, who was franchise tagged, or Josh Jacobs, who was franchise tagged. Every day the clock is running. So if you add it up right now, he is at $2.1 million in lost wages, and he's not a player on a rookie deal, so they can't waive the fines. The fines are what the fines are. I mean, at some point he has to show up. Because he's under contract, he has to play a set number of games to accrue a year towards free agency. So there's no question in my mind that he's going to play football this season. And you and I both know this. Tomorrow is cut day. I mean, your roster is set tomorrow. So if the Chiefs are going to trade Chris Jones, they're going to trade him tomorrow by 3 o'clock. I just don't know why you would trade him after cut down day. Now, I don't think they're going to trade him. He's the most important player on their defense, but at this point, the leverage is just starting to run out. The only leverage that I believe Chris Jones has is in a couple of Thursdays against the Detroit Lions. And Chris Jones needs that game to be a 41-38 Chiefs loss. High-scoring defense lets them down, and everybody is saying, we need Chris, we need Chris. Because you got to remember, last year the Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill and won the Super Bowl. So I think that these antics from Chris Jones just continue. I think a lot of the Chiefs kingdom is just saying, hey, well, we saw what happened last year when we lose a superstar. We didn't miss a beat. We won another Lombardi trophy. Why can't we do the same thing with Chris Jones? I would say that he has done himself more harm than good, at least from the fan perspective, with how he's played this entire situation.
Interesting. And here's what I would say. On offense, as long as you have 15 upright, I don't care who he's throwing the ball to. But after that, the biggest concern for the Chiefs is, can they make timely stops? And Chris Jones is an enormous part of that. Do they need, in your opinion, Chris Jones this year for them to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I do. I actually think that that how they lost the Super Bowl has sort of clouded everybody's judgment because the offensive line let them down. You remember they didn't have their left tackle, didn't have their right tackle, and that ended up being the biggest problem. Where at least with the Chiefs now, they're so concerned with their offensive line, which makes sense. Everything that you just said, keep 15 upright. I think people have sort of forgotten how the Chiefs didn't go to the Super Bowl in Mahomes' first season because their defense was so bad. You're right. You're not asking this defense to be top five in the league. You're not asking them to be the Jets or San Francisco or the Broncos even defense. You're asking them to play complementary football and be able to get off the field. Can you consistently keep teams under 27 points? If you do that, you should think that you're going to win far more games than you lose because of how good your offense is. I'm not sure if they can do that without Chris Jones. You also got to remember, at least heading into week one, you're not going to have Charles Aminihu. He was one of their big free agent acquisitions. He's out for the first six games. They're also not going to have Snead, one of their top corners. So you're potentially going into a game against the offense that was top five last year without three of your top, I would say four maybe, players on defense. That's big. So going back to Chris Jones, to me, he is all leverages. You guys need me. You guys can't win without me. The only way to really see that is against a team with a capable offense. That team is week one the line.
Let's get to the next down. Carrington Harrison here with us. Every year it seems like there's a player that's supposed to break out for the Kansas City Chiefs on offense. Who's the player this year that you think we weren't spending a ton of time talking about last year that'll have a big year this season?
It's probably a wide receiver just because there's so much turnover at wide receiver. I'm not going to nominate Marquez Valdes-Scantling just because at this point I think we kind of know what Scantling is. He's probably a 700, 750-yard wide receiver, not really a guy that's going to tear up fantasy. So I'll throw a couple of names out there. I'll throw Sky Moore. He was a second-round pick a couple of years ago out of Central Michigan. He is a breakout candidate. I would also say Kadarius Toney. Now, you know Kadarius Toney very well just with the Giants. No one has ever questioned the talent with Kadarius Toney. He is just always injured. He was hurt at Florida. He was hurt with the Giants. Hell, he was hurt last year with the Chiefs. So I think there's a belief, hey, if we can keep him upright, if we can keep him healthy, maybe we can do something special in the passing game, at least when it comes to him. So if you're asking me to throw a couple of names out there for a possible breakout, I'll throw those two out there. I'll throw two wide receivers, Sky Moore and also Kadarius Toney.
Let's get to the next down. Carrington Harrison here with us. Hey, whenever we have you on, we usually talk about the future of Andy Reid and how much longer he's going to coach. I don't think he's retiring anytime soon. So I'll throw this question, a similar question to you, though, but with a different person. What about Travis Kelce? The guy just keeps on looking better and better. He's like fine wine. He gets better with age. But he's now 33, turns 34 in October. How much longer do you think we have of good prime Travis Kelce?
That's a great question. I feel like it's like Tom Brady, and let me clarify. With Tom, I feel like we always kept saying, well, eventually Father Time's going to get him. Father Time's going to get him. Well, yeah, it did, but he was 43 years old when it eventually happened, that we kept trying to play that game at 35 and 36. And obviously a lot of us were wrong on Brady's clock. I'm not saying that that's going to be the same thing for Travis Kelce, that he's going to play, but go back and look at Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez didn't decline. He just retired. He just stopped playing football. I could see that being the same thing for Travis Kelce. He obviously has some media interest. He obviously can do a lot of different things. I could see Travis Kelce just at 36 years old just waking up one day and saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I've made a lot of money. I have a very successful podcast. I can be in a movie. I can do all these other things. So I'm not really sure if Travis Kelce just has a decline where one year he only has 400 yards receiving. I could see him having a year where he has, 50 catches for 900 yards, and then he just wakes up and says, I'm done, I'm out.
Looking at the offensive line, Orlando Brown Jr. now at Cincinnati Bengals. They bring in Donovan Smith. Where's the confidence level with this offensive line with the big boys up front?
High. I mean, I would say the Chiefs probably have one of the five best offensive lines in the National Football League. I'm not going to say they're the best, but they're certainly in conversation to be one of the best. You got Donovan Smith, who played for the Buccaneers last year. There's an expectation that he's going to bounce back. At left guard, you've got Joe Tooney. He's one of the best interior offensive linemen in the league. You've got Creed Humphrey, who arguably is the best center in the league. You've got a Pro Bowl caliber right guard at Trey Smith. And then at right tackle, you make the big move to go get Juwan Taylor out of Jacksonville. So there's a lot of confidence about their offensive line this season.
Let's get to the final down. Wrap it up with Carrington Harrison. All right, we have to talk about Mahomes. We know that he's the best quarterback in football. You talk to him each and every week. The rest of the top five, when you look at the NFL quarterbacks this year, it's Mahomes 1, who's 2, 3, and 4, and 5 for you?
I guess I would just start with this. We have to quit comparing Patrick Mahomes to other quarterbacks in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes is at the level where he is chasing Joe Montana. He's chasing Tom Brady. He's chasing Terry Bradshaw. Like, he's not competing with Joe Burrow. He doesn't have a ring. Or Josh Allen, who doesn't have a ring. Lamar, whomever you're going to throw out there. It's funny because I would say Burrow is 2. I would put Allen at 3. After that, I kind of feel like you can throw 4 through 8 in a hat. Like, I mean, we watched Aaron Rodgers last year. I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers is still a top 5 quarterback in the league. If you want to say Jalen Hurts, okay, I'll listen to you. Jalen Hurts only did it for one season last year. If you want to say Justin Herbert, he has as many playoff wins as every single person listening to the show right now. Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has never thrown 30 touchdown passes in a season. So it's weird that you have those top 3 who I think are pretty established. But after you get past them, to me, it just doesn't really matter. Like, to me, the conversation is more is, can your team win a Super Bowl with the quarterback that you have? And there's probably only 8 teams that feel like you can win a Super Bowl with the quarterback. Like, ask Dallas fans. Dallas fans don't feel like you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott, or Minnesota fans with Kirk Cousins. So I actually think that's a more important conversation than who the top 5 is, because I'm not really sure if there is a top 5 right now.
Well, let me follow up and ask something differently. we know what the standard is for the Chiefs. Whether they can win a Super Bowl every year, that doesn't happen. You know, Brady didn't win the Super Bowl every year, but the guy ended up getting 7 Super Bowls. When you look at the AFC and the NFC, is it Cincinnati in the AFC and Philadelphia in the NFC that those are the two teams that if the Chiefs don't get there this year, you expect one of those two teams to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I would say that just from talking to Chiefs fans every single day, I don't think the Chiefs fans are worried about any team in the AFC that's not the Cincinnati Bengals. Buffalo has never beaten Kansas City in a game that really matters. I mean, there's a rivalry between Kansas City and Cincinnati. Now, obviously, Kansas City has the 2 championships. Cincinnati doesn't have a championship. But, I mean, Burrow is the only one outside of Tom Brady to go into Arrowhead and beat Patrick Mahomes in a game that matters. So there's just going to be that level of respect. We already know about the regular season. These two teams play each other late in the year. That feels like it could be a game that determines who has home field. Eventually, in the AFC, you have to get Patrick Mahomes on the road. How crazy is it that Patrick Mahomes has played in 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them, and he has never played a true road playoff game? He played that Super Bowl, but that was in Tampa. That also was a COVID Super Bowl, so that's obviously different. But Buffalo has never hosted Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. Cincinnati, Baltimore, whatever team you want to throw out there. So if you want to talk about winning the AFC or going to the Super Bowl, you got to find a way to make Kansas City the road team in the AFC championship game.
You can listen to Carrington Harrison on the free Odyssey app on one of our great affiliates, 610 out in Kansas City in the Odyssey family. You can also check him out right here on CBS Sports Radio. Carrington, I'll see you at the end of September. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, Zach. I appreciate you and Ryan, man. Thank you.
There you go. Carrington Harrison even showing some love for Hot Take Hickey there at the end of the conversation. One of the best dudes in the business and was first class all the way when we did go out there to Kansas City. Not only took us out for lunch, but then the next day made sure we got a good bar, got also some dinner as well. Just dude is just unbelievable as a talk show host, but I'm just going to tell him, you know, food connoisseur could also maybe be a part-time job for him as well. All righty, we'll take a break here on CBS Sports Radio. 1, 2, and 4. I'll tell you what those numbers mean on the other side.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
How about that from Steve Young last week? Never thought we'd be asking that question here on CBS Sports Radio, Hickey. How do you beat the Jets? Some big-time praise from Steve Young.
I like the, this is a team that's flowered. I like that saying. I've never really heard that or used that. I may start, you know, stealing it.
I think what he meant by that was that you have a lot of young players on the team, and now they have grown up, and they're ready to take that next step and starting to blossom. That's the way that I interpreted that response there by the 2-time league MVP and 3-time Super Bowl champion and Steve Young.
Photosynthesis is running well at the Jets facility.
Maybe we'll send you out into the garden coming up later, Hickey. We'll have you pick your flowers out and see who's going to be the Super Bowl champion for this upcoming
year. Look, flower analogies have worked well for other teams in the NFL.
Sirianni.
So you know what? If you're the Jets, maybe adopt it. Maybe rename MetLife this season the garden.
Remember when Sirianni had that flower analogy? Seth Joyner joined us, and he was like, that ain't going to work in Philly. And I agree with him. We were crushing Sirianni, both of us. And look what happened. Ever since the flower speech, Nick Sirianni has turned out to be like one of the more winning coaches in football. Now, you know, 2 years ago, gets that team to a wild card round, and last year gets that team to a Super Bowl. And it was very similar, eerily similar, to Doug Peterson. Because when Doug first got there, you had that guy Mike Lombardi basically calling him a village idiot. And then look what Doug Peterson did go on to accomplish. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 1, 2, 4. First pick in the draft this year, Bryce Young. Second pick in the draft this year, C.J. Stroud. Fourth pick of the draft this year, Anthony Richardson. All three of those first-round rookie quarterbacks are going to be week one starters. Hickey, out of those three, 1, 2, and 3 ordering them, most successful, least successful, this upcoming season only. Not their entire career, just how we're talking about their rookie campaign at the end of the season. How do you order them 1, 2, and 3?
Bryce Young, number 1. I will go Anthony Richardson, 2. CJ Stroud, 3. No, Homer. I think that what the Colts have around Anthony Richardson is better than what the Texans have over C.J. Stroud. I'm not telling you right now Richardson is better than Stroud
is
right now.
Is Jonathan Taylor going to be there?
Well, see, I think so.
Okay.
Offensive line is better. Receivers are better. I think head coach is better.
We are opposite. I go C.J. Stroud one. Wait. How can you say the Colts head coach is better than the Texans head coach right now?
Well, Shane Steichen, I mean, I probably should have promised him more of the offensive mind because, again, Bobby Slowick, no. Can he be an offensive coordinator? No idea. We've seen Shane Steichen call plays successfully, not once, but twice.
So you're talking about the offensive development.
Yeah, sorry. Gotcha. It was a little tough because D'Amico Ryan's not an offensive mind head coach.
I'm not saying any of these
better
guys have coached the game yet.
Offensive mind leading in his ear.
So I will go C.J. Stroud 1. And the reason I go C.J. Stroud 1 is you have Laremy Tunsil and Shaq Mason. And Damian Pierce last year had a really good season. And you have Devin Singletary as your backup. At least I know those two guys will be there. You don't have great wide receivers, but Robert Woods has had some success in the past. Maybe this is a big jump year for John Metchie. I know they drafted Tank Dell, and they bring in Dalton Schultz, who's like a serviceable tight end in this league. I know the biggest concern with C.J. Stroud is that he had all these weapons at Ohio State, and there were times that we questioned C.J. Stroud. But I just think he has the best potential this year to be average. We're like, Anthony Richardson, they're going to put too much on his plate with the Indianapolis Colts. And I don't know where that offensive line is at. And also, I don't know if Jonathan Taylor is going to be there. So that's why he would be 3 for me. And I think Bryce Young is going to be the best quarterback in this draft class at the end of his career. But at the end of the season, I was never that concerned about the size or lack of it with Bryce Young. But he just got destroyed in the preseason behind an offensive line, Hickey, that we both have said. That's like one of the strengths of that football team. At least on the offense side of the ball, that was the strength. In this offseason was that offensive line. And now that offensive line got the quarterback killed. There's naturally going to be times where the quarterback makes his own mistakes. Wide receivers, outside of Adam Thielen, and Adam Thielen's now a 2, he's no longer a 1. That's been the case for the last few years. They don't really have much. And Miles Sanders, I have a big question about Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders was more disappointing than successful in Philadelphia. Miles Sanders had a great year last year. But now Miles Sanders doesn't have the best offensive line in football. And I think Miles Sanders' performance last year was more based off the system than the individual ability of Miles Sanders. And Miles Sanders in a new home is a concern for me. And the Eagles basically told you that when you look back at the playoffs and also the Super Bowl this year with other guys that they did rely on. And I look at Bryce Young where I think he's the most talented. And even though that NFC South stinks, even though they have a really good defense, that line scares the crap out of me entering this season. So I don't really like any of these options in year one with the situations that they're in. But I think C.J. Stroud will be the most average out of the three. So I'll go Stroud 1, Bryce Young 2, and then Anthony Richardson in at 3.
What I like about Young the most is, look, hot take, right? Teams picking in the top 4 don't have good rosters. So shocker that we're talking about 3 guys with not a lot around them to help them out.
But they naturally weren't picking 1.
No, but again, they're a top 10 team. There's still talent deficiencies. Yeah. And they had to give up a big piece in DJ Moore to get up to number 1. Yeah. So, again, when you take away a number 1 wide receiver, you know, your roster is not very good. But the thing I like and why I'm picking Young is, unlike Stroud and a little bit like Richardson, he was able to make the most out of a relatively bad situation in Alabama, where it's not like he was,
you're not wrong,
like Tua or Mac Jones having, you know, 4 number 1 wide receivers as disposal, or C.J. Stroud, the same thing.
Yeah.
He is at least going to a situation in Carolina where, yes, the pieces are not where you want them to be right now, but it's also not like he's not used to, or is used to playing only with elite guys. He knows how to make more with less.
I don't believe in Anthony Richardson. It's really, for me, more of a C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young thing. And I liked at the end of the year, and I know it took until the final game of the season, that C.J. Stroud finally showed his mobility. And I think his bigger frame with the beating that he's going to take is also something that factors into it. Because all 3 of these quarterbacks are both going to get beat up. Richardson, they're going to run him into the ground. C.J. Stroud will get hit, clearly. You're a rookie quarterback. And Bryce Young, that line, I hope it's just a blip in the preseason, because if that carries over into the regular season, my oh my, It definitely could be tough here for Bryce Young in year one. Let me quickly take Paul in Rhode Island next up on CBS Sports Radio. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, Zach, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. It's been a while.
Yeah, go ahead,
Paul. I'm going to have to agree with your counterpart there. It's very basic. I want to get something off my chest. And my wife of 38 years, it's going to be Cowboys, Lions, Ravens, and Josh Allen. I'm going to go with that.
You're talking in the conference championship games, the final four?
Quarterfinals. Yes, okay. Quarterfinals.
So the semifinals now, this year, we're going the Ravens, the Bills, and then you're going the Lions and the Cowboys. But
yes.
There's no Kansas City, there's no Philadelphia, there's no San Francisco, there's no Cincinnati.
Exactly. Something's going to happen like the game. You remember back, it was the game between the Vikings and New Orleans. Oh, it was all done. Just like that. Shock and awe. Something's okay. Going to happen this year like
well,
that.
Well, let's just hope the refs don't mess that one up. And, Paul, I'm up against it, so I have to let you go. I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Hickey, that one of Kansas City, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Cincinnati, at least one of them, will be in the conference title game. Just one.
I would agree.
It's a big prediction by me.
Hot take.
A big prediction, you know. My mouth's on fire right now. I just touched the microphone, the windscreen. Ow! That's a big take from yours truly. Matt Maiocca joins us next to talk about the 49ers.